Let's pray. Father, you are so good. Your name is holy, and your ways are the ways of love. And we do thank you so much for just that reminder, God, that knowledge that you are love. Shower us with your love today. Shower us with your love this morning, God, and enable us to do your will. Enable us to love those around us and make you known. That is our desire. I do want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for your Psalms. The experience of the psalmist and them conveying that, their struggle, the emotions that are expressed in your Psalms, the challenge, the difficulty, the rawness of it. It helps us to learn how to struggle, how to wrestle through things with you, and ultimately to worship you and to put our faith in you in the process. Help us do that this morning. Help us do that always. Reassure us of your presence and your love. Thank you that we can do this as a community. And thank you that we can do this morning. Please be with us. Please be with us through your Spirit. Give us an extra dose of your Spirit. And we do want to thank you so much for Jesus, his guidance, his presence in our lives, and his protection, and just the ways that he works in our lives through struggle and challenge and difficulty. Again, we love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so great to see you guys. It's great to be together like this. I'm so thankful that we have this way of connecting and that we can look into God's word this morning. So Psalm 109, I'm going to read from the ESV. And the title of this in the ESV is, Help Me, O Lord My God. Which sometimes that's just where we are, right? Is just help me. I don't know what else to say. I don't know what else to do, but just, help me. And maybe you're there this morning. And so amen to that. Maybe that's not where you are. But it's good to be reminded of the fact that when we do struggle and we do face challenges, God is there with us, though he can feel distant and far. He is there with us. And this is a Psalm of David when he experienced accusing and when he experienced, this disconnection, this distance, these attacks from those that he was connected to for a time. And so a real, challenge and a real struggle for him. And so he goes through this prayer essentially to God, begging for his help. And so we're going to pick it up in verse 21. And one of the main things that I want us to see in this is that, as I mentioned, before we jumped into the prayer, is that it is okay to struggle. It is part of the human experience. It's okay to have challenges. It's okay to be in a difficult season in life. It doesn't feel good. It just doesn't. But it's part of the human experience, and it's part of our relationship with God. It's part of our growth process. And so David, I think, does a great job modeling for us how to struggle with God, how to struggle in life, how to struggle in a spiritual way. And so in verse 21, that's where we're going to pick it up. So he's basically laying out there before God, this is my situation. This is the challenge that I'm in. And I think that's important for us. Even though God knows, it's important for us to articulate that and express that and give that to God. And that's what David is doing in this first part of the psalm where he's talking about his accusers there. And in verse 21, he gets to this place where he writes this. But you, O God, my Lord, deal on my behalf for your name's sake. Because your steadfast love is good, deliver me. Look what he says in verse 22. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is stricken within me. I am gone like a shadow at evening. I am shaken off like a locust. My knees are weak through fasting. My body has become gaunt with no fat. I am an object of scorn to my accusers. When they see me, they wag their heads, or they shake their heads in other translations. In verse 26, help me, O Lord my God, save me according to your steadfast love. Let them know that this is your hand. You, O Lord, have done it. Let them curse, but you will bless. They arise and are put to shame, but your servant will be glad. May my accusers be clothed with dishonor. May they be wrapped in their own shame as in a cloak. With my mouth, I will give thanks to the Lord. I will praise him in the midst of the throng. Amen. A powerful psalm, powerful verses in here. And one of the things that David models for us is the willingness to be weak, the willingness to be in the midst of a struggle and own that and go to God with it. And again, it's just, it's okay to struggle. It's okay to struggle with things. It's okay to be weak, to own our neediness. I mean, we just are human beings, and that's part of humanity. You know, the other things I'll say about this is that, you know, David's able to describe his situation and his feelings with such richness, with such vivid imagery. And that's good for us to practice that. It's good for us to go to God with that, because we can be more intimate with God that way. We can be more intimate with one another when we describe what we're really feeling, what's really going on with us at a very raw and vulnerable level. You know, one of the other things I was thinking about this is that I came across this quote the other day. I was reading something online, and the quote was, you can't change what you're not willing to name. Okay, you can't change what you're not willing to name. And, you know, I think about that with God. If we're not willing to name, I mean, God will help us get there, but if we're not willing to name what we're experiencing to God and to one another, then it really is impossible to change it. And it takes faith, it takes courage to go to those places of pain, to go to those places of struggle, to go to those places of difficulty. But we've got to be willing to go there if we're going to grow spiritually. And so David does this here. He says, but you, O God, my Lord, deal on my behalf for your name's sake. You know, David's saying, look, help me, not for my own glory, but so that you will be glorified. I'm in the midst of this challenge and this difficulty, but I want you to be glorified as a result. And then he says, and this is a theme here, because your steadfast love is good, deliver me. So he appeals to God based on his knowledge of God's love, the reality of God's love. And we should do that too. It's okay to say, God, help me because your love is great. That's just expressing our knowledge and our assurance of God's love, even though we can doubt that sometimes. And there is a sense that, oh man, I know I'm in this struggle, but you know, God, I know that you're a God of love, even though maybe my feelings are indicating that right now. I know that you are a God of love, so please help me. And verse 22, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is stricken within me. Again, the mighty King David, over and over again, in particular here, is willing to say, I am poor and needy. I am low. I am, you know, nothing, so to speak. And in many ways, I see Christ in this. I mean, in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Jesus says, you can come to me because I am lowly and humble in heart. That's how Jesus describes himself. And it attracts, you know, that attracts people, that attracted people to Jesus. And I think David's vulnerability and David's willingness to be weak, you know, attracted people to him as their leader. You know, and I think about some of my own struggles sometimes, and I think about some of the struggles that I can have that I'm not willing to own, and talk about because I'm afraid of how people will think of me and the way that people will look at me as a result. But I mean, I can struggle with self-doubt. You know, I can struggle with insecurity. I can struggle with low self-esteem and sadness and fatigue and, you know, confusion and, you know, indecisiveness. I mean, those are all things that I can struggle with. And sometimes in seasons on a regular basis, you know, if I'm stressed or there's, you know, these challenges in my life, those are the things that come out of me. And they're hard. I mean, they're just hard to deal with. And it's hard to own that. Again, I'm often can be fearful of, man, what are people going to think about me? I want to project this sense of I got everything together and everything's, you know, all in place and it's all good, but it's not always all good. And I've got, I'm growing in my ability to own that and to go to God with that and to talk about that with other people. I'm grateful for the community of God, especially in times of struggle, because, you know, I've got people around me that I do feel like, man, I can go to these people and I can be raw, I can be vulnerable, I can be myself, and I'm going to be loved regardless. Yeah, and there's, yeah, just, you know, a few different people where, you know, I can say that to. And David had those people around him as well. But ultimately what David is demonstrating here is his willingness to own that, to see that, and to go to God with that, knowing that God's not ashamed of him. God's not going to reject David because he has this struggle. It's the opposite. And we've got to understand that. We go to God with our challenges, with our difficulties, with our struggles. God brings us closer. God showers us with his love. God helps us work through challenges and difficulty. And he goes on to continue to express this. I am gone like a shadow at evening. I am shaken off like a locust. I mean, he's comparing himself to a bug, basically. You know, I'm worthless like a shaken off locust. My knees are weak through fasting. My body has become gaunt with no fat. Again, just this rich and vivid language of his struggle and how he's feeling in the midst of this challenge. I'm an object of scorn to my accusers. When they see me, they wag their heads. And so he's feeling this disconnect from people. He's feeling the shame and isolation. So a huge challenge, a difficult spot that he's in. But here he goes again in verse 26, appealing to God's love. Help me, O Lord, my God. So he's expressed this neediness. Where does he go with it? He goes to God. Help me, Lord, my God. What does he appeal to? His love. Save me according to your steadfast love. Guys, God is a God of love. He is a God of grace. No matter what you are experiencing, you can appeal to that. You can go to God because he is a God of love. I don't care what kind of sin you have in your life. I don't care what kind of challenges and struggles. I don't care what you are going through right now. You can appeal to God's love. He will embrace you. He will accept you. He will love you, and he will lift you up. 27, let them know that this is your hand, O Lord. You have done it. And so David doesn't want the credit. David's saying, look, I want to be lifted up, but not for my own glory, for your glory, God. And what a great model for us. You know, I can feel like, yeah, I want to be lifted up, but, you know, for my own glory. But this is a great reminder that it's not about me. It's about the glory of God. 28, let them curse, but you will bless. So he sees the contrast there. Yeah, this is what people are demonstrating to me, but man, God will bless. They arise and put to shame, but your servant will be glad. Even though this is my experience from people, I know that you're different than that, God. What comes into me from you is love. May my accusers be clothed with dishonor. May they be wrapped in their own shame as in a cloak. And, you know, I see the spiritual battle here. I see the accuser or accusers being Satan, accusing us on a regular basis, accusing us of things that he's trying to get us to not feel great about ourselves, about our situation, about our circumstances, whatever the case may be. And we've got to see that that's where the challenge is. And so basically asking God, hey, let Satan be clothed with dishonor. May he be wrapped in his own shame as in a cloak. But then in verse 30, and this is where David gets to, his circumstances have not changed. As far as we know, they're still the same, but he moves and concludes into a place of worship of God. With my mouth, I will give great thanks to the Lord. I will thank God. I will praise God. I will praise him in the midst of the throng. I will praise him in the midst of the difficulty, of the challenge. I will have faith. I'll have courage. And I will believe that God will come through. God will hear my prayer, that he will lift me up. And so what I want to do at this point is just spend a couple minutes in meditation. And so you can pick a verse that you'd like to focus on. It may be worth focusing on just God's love right now. I mean, that's a theme in this particular psalm. It may be worth, hey, I'm just going to meditate on praising God and just offering my whole being to God. Whatever the case may be, but let's spend a couple minutes in meditation and then let's go to some intention setting for today after that. So go ahead and find a comfortable position in your seat. It's good to keep your back straight, pull your shoulders back, good posture. Helps you to focus and concentrate. You can close your eyes and start to focus on your breath. The breath is a great way to settle our being down, settle our minds down, settle our heart. Great place to start with gratitude. Gratitude for every breath. Gratitude for the ability to breathe. And thanking God for giving us life. Focusing on the breath does allow us to make space for our meditation, to make space for God. So once you've gotten there, then now's the time to fill up on God. Whatever verse, whatever aspect of God's nature, God's character that you like to meditate on, just bring it before your mind. Recognizing that your mind will wander at times, just take note of it, bring it back to the breath, bring it back to the verse, bring it back to God, and just allow your being to settle there for a couple minutes. Okay, you can open your eyes and come back to the space where you are. Just notice where you are. Thanking God for his word and the opportunity to meditate on and dwell on and absorb his word. And now's the time to move into, okay, now that I've meditated on this, I feel like the Spirit has put this in my heart. What am I going to do with that? How am I going to live? Intention setting is important for living something out. There's various research that shows that. But that is an act of our heart, is to set our intention. Okay, God, I'm putting that before God. Okay, here's what I'm going to do today based on your word. So I'd love for a couple people to share. I mean, one of the things I love about this psalm is the reminder of God's steadfast love, knowing that you can always appeal to that. And so I'm going to just focus on that today, and then not just absorbing God's love. I mean, I want to appreciate that, but I also want to be a conveyor, a demonstrator of God's love. This morning in our little family meeting, you know, I was talking to the girls and to Katie, and just saying, this is how I want to love you today. This is what I want to demonstrate to you today. And I was like, is that okay with you? But that's how I want to live today. But a couple people, what's your intention today based on the psalm and what you meditated on? Go ahead, Mike.
For me today, where it says in 30, with my mouth, I will give great thanks to the Lord. I think throughout the day today, whether I'm at work or after I'm done with a phone call, one of my kids that we do therapy with, just thanking God for giving me work, for when I'm outside running, thanking God for the ability to take in a breath of air and to look at his surroundings. And through everything that I do today, I really want to thank him for each and everything, for the food that I eat, for the shower I get to take, the clean clothes I get to put on, just everything, whether it be big or small. Just thank him constantly throughout the day, because none of it is given. It's all given by him, and I don't want to take any of it for granted. So just thanking him throughout the whole day for everything that he gives me.
Amen. That's great. That's great. Anybody else? What's your intention for today?
I like when you were talking about that it's okay to have weaknesses. And I think sometimes as Christians, we feel like, oh man, if I'm feeling a certain way, I must do something to feel good. And I must feel good all the time. And things must be in place all the time. But then, you know, a couple of days I was in my studies and God was talking to me about that very same thing. To embrace those moments when you feel weak, because it's in those moments that I become strong. Mm-hmm. And it's my opportunity to see God as my strength. I'm not going to know him as a God of strength if I'm never at a place of weakness. So right. I'm glad that you actually point that out, because I feel like as a Christian, I know for me that I always feel pressure to put on that show and to make sure that everything is all right. And I'm not allowed to have a moment of just feeling like, you know what, I feel like crap today. I don't mm-hmm. feel like a Christian today. Like today I don't really feel, but you go back to what you know that you're a Christian, you know, but in this moment, I may not be feeling my best. So it's good for me to know that I can have those moments and yet still know that God is still on my side.
Amen. That's great. Yep. And that was one of the big things that I wanted to convey today. I said it a few times that, hey, this is something that a lot of us struggle with. You know, I can feel that too. If I don't, you know, feel super close to God, or I don't have this particular feeling of happiness right now, then I can feel like, what's wrong with me? What am I doing wrong? You know, even to the place of, am I a Christian? You know, am I really just thankful for feeling this way. That's super relatable. I appreciate you pointing that out. And, you know, it is a great reminder to all of us that we are going to have those times. And it's in those times, as Shauna said, when we are weak, then God is able to be our strength. 2 Corinthians 12, I think about Paul. I mean, that was Paul's mentality. He even got up in front of the church at Corinth and was like, I'm trembling in fear right now before you, right? This is Paul, you know, mighty, strong guy who wrote, you know, all these New Testament books, saying that he's trembling in fear before people that he was speaking to. And so, you know, it's good to own that. It's good to recognize that. And I appreciate that reminder, Shauna. So let's conclude with prayer. And that'll be our time together today. So I'm going to just pray through those verses that I read today. Let's pray. But you, O God, our Lord, deal on our behalf for your name's sake, because your steadfast love is good. Deliver us. God, we are poor and we are needy, and our hearts can be stricken within us at times. We can be gone like a shadow at evening. We can be shaken off, like a locust. Our knees can be weak through fasting. Our body can become gaunt with no fat. We can be an object of scorn to our accusers. When they see us, at times they shake their heads. But God, please help us. Save us according to your steadfast love. Let our accusers know that it is your hand, that has saved us. Let them curse, God, but you will bless. They arise and put to shame, but your servant will be glad. May our accusers be clothed with dishonor. May they be wrapped in their own shame as in a cloak. God, with our mouths, we will give great thanks to you. We will praise you in the midst of the throne. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this time. Thank you for our community. Thank you so much for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen.